Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Time now for Tuesdays with Neil. My man, how are you?
I'm doing well, living the non-reverse jinx life.
Oh, that's okay. I'm living in a world where the other host calls everything stupid, including me.
I've run podcasts before. I know what that's like.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
So, we've gone through a lot of scenarios here. So, what are your top five training camp scenarios that you are interested to see how they play out or don't play out?
Oh, that's a fun question. We're looking league-wide. I'm obviously biased. Number one for me, just because I think that the issue is multifaceted. If you take a Pittsburgh Steelers team that had significant doubts about their offensive line this time last year, one of those doubts resided in their left tackle, Dan Moore. Now, for all of his faults, and there are many at the professional level, he's experienced. He knows what to expect, and for once, for a team that has a reasonable playoff aspiration, maybe even an outside chance of competing for a division title, left tackle is going to be an important position for him. They trade out to draft Broderick Jones in round one, who's about as prototypical of a modern left tackle as you can get, except for the fact that, or maybe, you know, including the fact that he's probably raw, a little bit behind, especially in terms of pass protection.
Right.
Who are they going to start? Because with the Steelers, you have to go back a ways, barring injury, to find a rookie that they didn't throw into the fire immediately. All of them have played pretty much since. Well, David DeCastro would have played. He got hurt in a preseason game in 2012. Cam Hayward did not play much at all his rookie year in 2011. But since then, all of their first-round picks have played quite a bit. I'm curious how that shakes out, because I really feel the Steelers are a team to watch. High-end defense, I think they can get more out of their offense. But is it Jones, the prospect who probably isn't ready, or is it more the veteran who hasn't shown anything yet? I think that's a very conflicting situation. The one guy, and we've talked about this, that I'm really interested in seeing in an NFL offense after some coaching is Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
I think it's a great spot for him in terms of, I don't know if this is a team that has great expectations right now, but what I think gets missed with Richardson is if we were to compare this inappropriately and unfairly to another sport, and I hate doing this, I don't know why I always do it. he's like a pitcher who can throw an 85-mile-an-hour slider on the black for a strike 9 out of 10 times, but right, can't throw the ball to first base.
Right.
So it's like, what's the harder thing to find here? Is there a way that you can just, you know, not throw the ball to first base? Have somebody else do it in all situations? Right. Is it that big of a deal? If you can throw a pitch like that, I don't know how many times you're going to hit him anyway. Anthony Richardson in the right, I don't want to say the right offense, but the right offensive leader guiding him, he's going to do some unbelievable things in the NFL because he is freakishly talented. It's just easy to look at the flaws that he has and say, try to write him off. But it's like, he does the big stuff way too well in today's NFL. Unfair, but let's put it this way. Put Anthony Richardson's size, athleticism, and arm in Philadelphia's offense last year.
Right.
You're talking 5,500 yards of passing. He can do all of that. You know, he might not be able to hit a crosser over the middle, but if you've got single coverage on the outside, you got two streakers going either way, He's going to hit the open one. He can do that all day. He just needs to be allowed to do it. Now, if you want to break him down and only throw short stuff, have him rely on outlets, I'm not sure how good he's going to be. But if they let the kid go out there and play and just say, look, you know what, this is his highest and best. It's risky, but he's going to make a lot of big plays. You're in for a real fun player to watch. So for me, I am really enamored with him as a player. I'm really curious to see how, you know, first-year coach Shane Steichen is going to work him in, what they're going to do with him, how they're going to utilize the talent that they have around him. I don't think it's going to be a year-one thing for him. I think they've got some money they need to spend, some more draft picks they need to acquire, but he's going to do some things his rookie year that's going to make you really wonder, is this kid a future All-Pro?
What is interesting is I never once heard you mention the name Aaron Rodgers.
If people haven't learned in the NFL about the hype of free agents, they haven't paid attention beyond just Tom Brady, and he's Tom Brady. No, Aaron mm-hmm. Rodgers is not Tom Brady.
Yeah.
What a quarterback does in the first year that he's with a new team is not typically what you've seen from that quarterback in the past.
Right.
In a way, that might be a good thing for Aaron Rodgers, because if you sat and if you really watched him last year in Green Bay, you're not seeing the same player that you think is in New York right now. He's not that guy anymore. I don't care who's calling plays. I don't care if it's his best friend of 40 years. And he'll do everything that Aaron wants to do because, frankly, you know, Nate Hackett is fairly in the argument of the worst head coach in NFL history. He doesn't have a choice but to do what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. I'm not sure that is going to equate to great success with within a player that I saw last year with pretty noticeably diminished physical talent. Right. That was in January. Where is he going to be now after all this? New environment. Everything's new. Is he going to come in and lock down right away? Is all this going to work immediately? I don't know what part of this sounds like it's going to. I really don't. I think they start off pretty rough, and I think you're going to start all the optimism that's going on about the Jets right now, I think, is going to be flipped. I think everybody's going to be coming after him. Now, to be fair, Rodgers does well when that happens. There are plenty of instances in which the Packers didn't start off the best. Their fans That's got right. chirping. He's made a career out of that. So I'm not writing him off. I don't think this is going to be quite the you know, I wouldn't put them at Buffalo's level. But to add number four to this, you know who I think is Miami.
Yes.
That's a really fun division to watch.
Let's
go back with this, because here's the thing. Tyreek Hill, in my opinion, first half of last season, is the MVP of the league. I mean, his numbers were outstanding for what he was doing, and he was making big play after big play. And then his quarterback got hit in the head, I think, every day for 2 weeks or something like that. He was out a lot, and he didn't have anybody throwing him the ball. His numbers were still big. Not MVP level big. I mean, imagine what it would take for a receiver to win an MVP in today's league. That was Tyreek Hill last year. And as somebody that really didn't think that was going to work, I was beyond impressed. Now, there are 32 teams in the league, theoretically anyway, maybe, you know, in reality, 29. But of all of those teams, they're not going to improve if their starting quarterback gets hurt. So the statement that if he stays healthy is true of everybody, all right? I get that. That said, when Tua was in, that team did some things offensively. They're really, really good.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel does a great job organizing that. He only got better as a coach. He's a second-year guy now. They made moves defensively. I think getting Jalen Ramsey was an excellent move for what they're doing defensively.
Yes.
Not an outside guy, but if anybody, we get into the cliche a lot. Well, he can't play corner. Well, just play him at safety. Right, the same thing. But if there's a guy that could really make that transition and do well with it in today's NFL, it's Jalen Ramsey. He would be an all-pro safety if they played him at safety. He's that talented. Nobody stays on the outside at a dominant level for very long anymore. It's a really hard position. They're gonna do very well defensively with that addition right there. Xavier Howard is still among the best in the league. Mm-hmm. That's a team to watch. When I look at the AFC East right now, I'm looking at Miami. I'm not even looking at Buffalo so much. I'm definitely not looking at the Jets or the Patriots. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that comes together, how much McDaniel can stack on what he already built there. Did opponents get enough of their offense with Tua in it to figure out tendencies, things like that? I'm not sure it did. So I think you can see some big things out of Miami early, and I think that's a team to watch.
Yeah, because I was kidding around with Mike McDaniel at Pro Day when he was here, and he was kidding around about, yeah, you know, when Tua wasn't in, I didn't run all the good plays. he's joking around, and we're just having some fun and some laughs with it. What is, in your estimation, the legitimate depth in the NFC in terms of good teams, quality teams? Because it sounds like the AFC's got a lot of them.
I think we cut that conversation very short. I think we usually look immediately at quarterbacks, and the loaded, hype-filled quarterbacks are in the AFC. They're probably not so much in the NFC. Daniel Jones is getting a big contract, and we're not even sure if he's a good quarterback. You know, it's easy to go with that. But you look at our Giants team, that despite the apparent limitation of Daniel Jones being a quarterback, they won a playoff game. They won a road playoff game. And this is a team that they haven't won more than five games in the last couple of years. Dable was the best coach in football, in my opinion, for what he did with that team as quickly as he did it.
I told him about playing a team like that. I told him that. I told Brian that when he was here.
He earned it. I don't think he got the recognition that he deserved for what they had. And I'm not dismissing – every team's got – talent. You know, it's not that they're all, you know, the 30-year stretch of the Cleveland Browns.
By the way, just to appease Matt, if you could just say Nick Sirianni's the greatest of all time, that would help his attitude.
I haven't even gotten into the genius of Nick Sirianni. He's one of my favorites. I love what Philadelphia does. Yep. I think he's the type of guy that will continue to have success because he knows how to continue to get better. And you look at what Philadelphia did. Jalen Hurts is the MVP. He's not even a top five quarterback. A lot of that is Nick Sirianni being smart enough to highlight the strengths of his quarterback and not try to make him balance. They want the quarterback
to
do everything.
That's the key to coaching.
Do what
you
have.
That's the key to coaching.
Don't worry about what you don't have. That's modern leadership. And Sirianni gets that. For as young as he is, he didn't have a ton of experience. He went all in with a guy that fairly was a second-round draft pick. And look at what they got out of him. And it's not just, we're going to call these plays and do these things. It is that to a degree, in the sense that they're not afraid to get him out of the pocket. They're not afraid to give him option routes. They're not afraid to tell him, if you got it, go get it. But more than anything, it's to do what he's best at, we need to get vertical runners. Let's go get A.J. Brown. We've got Devontae Smith. Dallas Goedert can do a lot more if he's not just patrolling the middle of the field.
Right.
They open things up for Hurts. That's exactly what I'm talking about as far as Anthony Richardson goes. If Richardson was in that type of situation, I think he can be just like Jalen Hurts. Hurts, not a great pure thrower of the football, but he can get a ball deep downfield, and he can take what a defense gives him. So if you roll him out and you've got an RPO out of that, drag somebody short, and you've got vertical routes, your defense is stressed to no end. And I know that. Go ask Mike Tomlin. I mean, really, the one Eagles game that stands out to me was the complete vertical assault of the Steelers' defense in the first half of that game. There's nothing they could do. And they were just getting completely destroyed. And it's because Hurts could do whatever he wanted to do. He was so locked in. Sirianni and the Eagles, I still think that's the top of the NFC. They're a very difficult team to match up with. They lost some stuff. Every team does. It's still a very well-coached team, very balanced. They're the most dynamic and versatile offense in the NFL. And they showed throughout the entire, you know, I guess, what, 18 and a half games anyway, until the second half of the Super Bowl where they just got out-coached, how good they can be overall. And what are they going to take away from that? How much are they going to learn from that? We still have a great quarterback coach, still have a great offensive coordinator. Philadelphia is, you know, as much a favorite as anybody. You know, again, if we're going to kind of go through the futile exercise of breaking a quarterback down just purely based on traits, Hurts is probably not your guy. But look at what he does in the framework of what they set up for him, and look at both sides of that. That's what you have working for you. That's a horse to bet on, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Not every team has that.
Well, and that's the key to coaching. The key to coaching is to look at the personnel and say, okay, what are they capable of and what can they do best? You don't attempt to fit the system to the players. You know, you have to sit there and say, hey, look, the players had to fit. Okay, this is what we do. This is what we'd like to do. But you know what? We can't do A, B, or C, but we can do D through J because that's what they're capable of. We try to do A through D, can't do it because we'll lose.
They can't do it just because you did that 10 years ago and it worked really well. And that's the reason you're in the job that you're in. You hate to bring up Belichick all the time, but Belichick, his genius, in my opinion, is apparent in the fact that his best team, the 2017 that lost the Super Bowl, was completely different than the 2011 team that won the Super Bowl the next time he got there.
That's right.
He overhauled the entire team. He modernized it. He built a short, effective run and pass game out of the same stuff, which was not even close to what they did in 2007. And that became the basis of offense in the NFL. He adapted everything that he did based on what he had. And then he went out and found market efficiencies, getting, you know, veteran players at low cost to do certain things in certain situations. I feel the best teams are going to be able to do that, and we see that over a period of time. Kansas City just won the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure you and I talked last year around this time that Kansas City is going to really struggle without Tyreek Hill because they can't do the circus ball thing that Mahomes had been so good at. So what do? They reeled him in, became a lethal situation team, won every short down that they ever had, and took, frankly, not all that good of an overall defense to the Super Bowl. Got a great second half out of them to hold on and allow their high-power offense to come back and win. They got a ton of run out of a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, not replacing directly, but you have to fill in Tyreek Hill's targets somehow, and they're not 18-yard down the field kinds of targets. They had to reinvent how they played the game. That's not just Patrick Mahomes. The talent of Patrick Mahomes obviously is great, but it's coaching, and a lot of that is humble leadership. We have to do something else. We can't be afraid to admit that we can't do the things that we used to do. Now we need to do this again. So you have a guy like Andy Reid who gives that kind of confidence to his team. How many different things that you can do? How many different things are there that you can do?
Phenomenal as always. Thank you, sir. You make Tuesdays just one of the better days of the whole week. Thank you so much.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me, guys.